This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was, for many generations, America's dad, tearing down racial barriers and paving the way for a line of upcoming Black entertainers to take the spotlight. But behind that good lies, and something else very bad, a disturbed, manipulative man seemingly obsessed with sex and would stop at no length to get there. Today, the story of Bill Cosby on the dark side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of Wikipedia.
American comedian Bill Cosby has been the subject of publicized sexual assault allegations, with the earliest incidents allegedly taking place in the mid-1960s, and his conviction for aggravated indecent assault happening in 2018. He's been accused by numerous women of rape, drug-facilitated sexual assault, sexual battery, child sexual abuse, and sexual misconduct. Assault allegations against Cosby became more public after a stand-up routine by comedian Hannibal Bruce, which became popular in October of 2014, alluding to Cosby's covert sexual misbehavior. Thereafter, many additional claims were made. The dates of the alleged incidents have spanned from 1965 to 2008 in 10 U.S. states and one Canadian province. Cosby has maintained his innocence and repeatedly denied the allegations made against him. He was asked about the allegations in November 2014 and responded, "I don't talk about it." He has declined to publicly discuss the accusations in interviews in the past, although he told Florida Today that people shouldn't have to go through that and shouldn't answer to innuendos. In May 2015, he said, "I have been in this business 52 years and I've never seen anything like this. Reality is a situation and I can't speak." Following the allegations, numerous organizations severed ties with Cosby and revoked honors and titles previously awarded to him. Media organizations pulled reruns of The Cosby Show and other television programs featuring Cosby from syndication. 25 colleges and universities rescinded honorary degrees. Adweek reporter Jason Lynch noted that the media landscape has changed considerably and has now been joined by the far less forgiving social media arena. More of the alleged acts fall outside the statute of limitations for criminal legal proceedings, but criminal charges have been filed against Cosby in one case and numerous civil lawsuits have been brought against him. As of November 2015, 8 related civil suits were active against him. Gloria Allred is representing 33 of the alleged victims. In July 2015, some court records were unsealed and released to the public from Andrea Constrand's 2005 civil suit against Cosby. The full transcript of his deposition was released to the media by a court reporting service. In his testimony, Cosby admitted to casual sex involving recreational use of sedative hypnotic methaqualine, otherwise known as Quaaludes, with a series of young women, and he acknowledged that his dispensing the prescription drug was illegal. In December of 2015, 3 Class 2 felony charges of aggravated indecent assault were filed against Cosby in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, based on allegations by Constrand concerning incidents in January 2004. Cosby's first trial in June 2017 ended in a mistrial. Cosby was found guilty of 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault at retrial in April of 26, 2018, and in September 25, 2018, he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in state prison and fined $25,000 plus the costs of prosecution, $43,611. Cosby appealed on June 25, 2019, and the verdict was subsequently upheld and granted an appeal by the Pennsylvania State Court. So, Who wants to hear this story of America's? This is something I never, ever would have even imagined, 10 years ago, that we'd be doing a dark show and the subject would be Bill Cosby. It's a dark side of Wikipedia. And I'm Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes with me today. It's just something, never would have been on my radar.
This is one of those stories that I have a hard time with.
Yep.
And for a number of different reasons. But I have a hard time putting it together in my head because I don't know Bill Cosby. But you think you do because he's so famous. And then the Cosby Show, seems, he was the guy doing the Jell-O commercials with the kids. And he just seemed like this nice guy that you wanted to have in your life. You know, if you could hang out with Bill Cosby, you would do that.
Yeah.
And then this other side of him, and I kind of quickly did the math in my head, but it was like 43 years or something like that this went on.
Yeah.
And then when I saw there was I can't remember if it was a magazine cover or a magazine, like a double spread or something in the magazine, but it was all the women who had accused him. And it was, there's so many women. So I'm like, there has to be something behind that. That many women don't just come out and go, hey, me too, me too, me too, me too.
No.
And so it was just hard for me to put that all together in my brain, just like everybody else, because I'm like, and then I think that men with power, I think Harvey Weinstein's the same way, that they're entitled to it. They see it as consensual.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see what... I think that they probably at the beginning knew it wasn't quite right, but you've gotten away with it for so long now, it's just part of your life, and that's what women do.
And they came up in a time where, not that these things were ever okay, but society didn't punish it the way that it does now, which it should be doing it the way that it does now. But for so long, it was, if you were the victim of these things, you were punished. You were looked at as the bad person. And they got away with it for so long during those years that, they're 20, 30 years into their lives and their careers and them doing this. Why would they think they'd have to stop? They've gotten away with it for so long, but society changed. And I think that's really the only thing that changed here is he didn't change. He's been doing this forever. Yeah. Same with Weinstein and shit like that. It's like society changed. Society finally said, look, we're not going to deal with this shit anymore from people like you. I don't care what your image is. That's not going to save you anymore, motherfucker. And, it's such a sad story because in reality, someone like him, he did a lot of good outside of the horrible shit that he did. And he paved the way for many black entertainers. And, it's sad that this is what he was doing at the same time. But there were barriers broken. The same way you can say Michael Jackson had a ton of hit songs and had massive impact on modern music, with all the allegations against him. You can't discount the impact that these people made on society, but you don't have to make them out to be a saint or anything like that, because they're not. They're certainly not. They were messed up people that did horrible things. And along the way, they hit it pretty damn well with philanthropy and things of that nature.
And, if you say, well, why didn't they say something then? Well, 40 years ago, you couldn't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then even with Harvey Weinstein, he threatened or implied threat to their careers. So I'll make sure you never work in this town again. Well, if it's coming from a guy like him, mm-hmm. And that's what you're choosing to do with your life, and you've worked really hard at it.
And then you got to wonder a little bit. So these, when we find out things like that, those are the threats that we know about. Those are the threats that never came through. And because he tried it and it got exposed. What about those threats to other people were there other people in those lines of fire that said, you fucking threaten me all you want, I'm still going to do this. And then those threats came true. But they were never solved. They were never looked on as, Bill Cosby killed you. Or Harvey Weinstein had you killed, or, this or that.
But there are women whose career did end.
Sure.
because of Harvey Weinstein.
Yes, there are. There's many of them. And it, I guess it depends on what the threat was, if it was of death or violence or just ruining your career. That can easily be shown. I'm just wondering if there's anything connected to any of these individuals that is even worse and much darker than that. That, you know, just, well, we found her dead of an overdose and, you know, no one's going to suspect Bill Cosby, you know, or Harvey, you know, Weinstein at those points in time.
Yeah, because if you're giving the women quaaludes and they're drinking.
Yeah.
And the women were passing out, so he had to have given them a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
And I don't even get how you give someone a quaalude without them knowing it, but maybe, we'll get into that, because okay. It might have been like a, here, take this to relax sort of thing.
I think that's what he was doing, but let's get into the more of the meat of the story and find out all of Bill's magic touches that he had with the ladies.
I just hate that he was like that.
I know, it's so fucked up. Here we go. Let's continue in. The earliest allegations against Bill Cosby come on December 1965 when Christina Rorelli accused Cosby of drugging and assaulting her in his Beverly Hills, California home during that time. Rorelli alleged that at the time she told her boyfriend about the incident and also claimed that she later told her daughter about the alleged encounter in the 1980s. She would publicly speak about it in 2005 when she came forward in the Andrea Constrand case as Jane Doe number 12. In the early 1980s, Joan Tarshis told freelance reporter John Millward about the alleged sexual assault by Cosby. Millward did not write about the allegations. In 1996, Playboy playmate Victoria Valentino gave a videotaped interview in which she made sexual assault allegations against Cosby. The interview was conducted for an expose on the lives of Playboy models, which was never published. After the allegations resurfaced in 2014, Wendy Williams recalled that during her radio show in 1990, she referred to sexual assault allegations against Cosby that had been published in the National Enquirer tabloid. Williams said Cosby called her boss in the middle of the broadcast demanding that Williams be fired. Later allegations and investigations occurred starting on February 1st of 2000. According to a statement provided by Detective Jose McCallan of New York County District Attorney's Special Victims Bureau, Michelle Covington, who was 20 years old at the time, filed a criminal complaint against Cosby, alleging that on January 28th, 2000, at his Manhattan townhouse, he had tried to put her hands down his pants and then exposed himself. Covington also alleged that Cosby grabbed her breasts and tried to put his hands down her pants. Cosby was questioned and insisted it was not true. The New York City Police Department referred her complaints to the DA, but they declined to prosecute. In January of 2004, Andrea Constrand, the former Temple University employee, accused Cosby of drugging and fondling her. However, in February of 2005, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania's district attorney said there would be no charges due to the insufficient, credible, and admissible evidence. Constand then filed a civil claim in March of 2005 with 13 women as potential witnesses in the case went to court. Cosby settled out of court for an undisclosed amount in November of 2006. After learning that charges were not pursued in the Constand case, California lawyer Tamar Lucier Green, the only publicly named woman in the prior case, came forward with allegations in February of 2005 that Cosby had drugged and assaulted her in the 1970s. Cosby's lawyer said Cosby did not know her and that the events did not happen. In July 2005, Philadelphia Daily News interview, Beth Ferrier, one of the anonymous Jane Doe witnesses in the Constand case, alleged that in 1984, Cosby had drugged her coffee and she woke with her clothes partially removed. In 2005, Sean Upshaw Brown, a woman with whom Cosby admitted to having an extramarital affair in the 1970s, claimed to the National Enquirer that Cosby drugged and raped her the last time the two were together sexually. Brown is the mother of Autumn Jackson, who claims to be Cosby's illegitimate daughter. Jackson was conceived in 1997. Jackson was convicted in 1997 of extortion after she threatened to make the claims public in the Globe tabloid. In 2015, Brown went into more detail with her renewed allegations in interview. On June 9, 2006, Philadelphia Magazine published an article by Robert Huber, which gave graphic detail about Constand's allegations and the similar stories told by Green and Ferrier about how they stated that they too were drugged and sexually assaulted. With these severe allegations against Cosby, Huber wrote, his lawyers have gotten it pushed to a back burner down to a simmer, and maybe it will amount to nothing. Yet there is also the possibility that it will bubble up to destroy him. The article was titled Dr. Huxtable and Mr. Hyde, an allusion to both Cosby's character, Dr. Cliff Huxtable on The Cosby Show, and a person having two starkly distinct Jekyll and Hyde personalities. This article also presented Barbara Bowman, who had come forward after having read about Constan's story, saying she could not sit in silence any longer. Details of Bowman's similar drug and sexual assault allegations were published in the magazine's November 1st, 2006 issue. Bowman reported two incidents that happened around early 1986, wherein she was 18 years old and working as an aspiring model and actress after her agent had introduced her to Cosby, and he had become her good friend and mentor, saying that she escaped his attacks, returned home to Denver, and Cosby thereafter subverted her career. So I think you called it. It was kind of the, hey, have some of this. Have some of these. This will relax you. This lavender drug, whatever the fuck I'm putting in your drink. I mean, yeah.
Because it happened to me before.
Yeah.
But, you know, but a Quaalude is a big pill.
Yeah.
So, and I think you would taste it but I can't see drugging a drink with that.
Yeah.
But it's just so, like, all of it's so manipulative that you can so walk into the situation and get, like, then all of a sudden you become the victim, but then it's twisted to where you feel like you did something wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he shouldn't be drugging people.
Yeah. No, it's totally that. He's using his power and his manipulation and who he is. And, oh, my God, Bill Cosby is interested in me.
Exactly.
Bill fucking Cosby. And, you know, yeah, he used it all to his advantage. And it destroyed lives. And he should be held accountable.
Including his wife.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she knew anything about that.
You know,
I've always felt bad for her.
I don't know. I think she knew a hell of a lot more.
Do you think that she knew and maybe didn't want to acknowledge it?
Didn't they have an open relationship?
Oh, I never knew that.
I could be wrong. So I've allegedly heard that somewhere. I don't know where.
Maybe it could be a marriage of convenience. You're bringing home bazillions of dollars. I'm spending it and having a great life. What you want to do.
I mean, I don't know. My guess would be that she had more knowledge than has been portrayed. And, you know, maybe that was a relationship. I mean, it's a pretty shitty human being to know that your husband's doing shit like that, but you're just going to take the money and not expose him if that's what was happening.
Sometimes it's like you have that hunch,
yeah,
but you don't want to pursue it because you really don't want to know.
Yeah.
And so if you ignore it, that's essentially denying it.
The thing is,
and obviously it's not happening because I'm not acknowledging that it is.
The thing is, there's some of these things that he had admitted to earlier that, you know, I had affairs or this or that, had come out publicly far earlier than 2014, I believe.
So, shit, that's every man. I mean, with all respect to you, but
it's not.
You know, you're a guy.
But it's
that was rude. But, you know, a lot of men and women, a lot of married people have affairs.
Yes, but the thing is, my point is that I don't know how she wouldn't have known because he's publicly said that, you know, in depositions and things of that nature. So at the very least, she knows she has a philandering husband.
Agreed. I do agree with that.
You know, at the most, she's, you know, aiding and abetting a rapist. But I don't know that how much she knew about his, I guess, methods. But I would think at the least she knew that her husband was not faithful would be my
guess. She might have just been thinking he's having affairs, like regular straight old affairs.
Yeah.
Not like drugging women and molesting them.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark.
All the while just enjoying that paycheck, I guess. It's dark. Let's continue on into the story of good old Bill, and maybe we can have a Jell-O pudding pop while
I'm still sad about this.
While we listen. Here we go. On October 16, 2014, as part of his stand-up comedy routine in Philadelphia, Hannibal Buress addressed Cosby's legacy of talking down to young black men about their mode of dress and lifestyle. Buress criticized the actor's public moralizing by saying, "Yeah, but you rape women, Bill Cosby, so that kind of brings you down a couple of notches." The audience appeared to respond to Buress' accusation as an incredulous joke. Then he encouraged everyone to search Bill Cosby rape on Google when they got home. Buress had been using the same Cosby routine for the previous 6 months with little response, but word of the October performance spread rapidly after being posted on Philadelphia Magazine's website. Media coverage intensified, with numerous publications tackling the question of how Cosby had managed to maintain, and Buress called in his routine a Teflon image despite more than a decade of public sexual abuse allegations. Shortly afterward, USA Today reported that earlier Cosby or his representative posted a request for Twitter followers to go ahead, meme me. The tweet was deleted after a large number of the submitted memes made reference to accusations against Cosby. Additional assault allegations after Buress' remarks came to the attention of journalist Joan Tarshis. In November 2014, model Janice Dickinson, actress Louisa Moritz, actor Lou Ferrigno's wife, Carla, Florida nurse Therese Singernese, Playboy Playmates Valentino and Sarita Butterfield, actress Michelle Hurd, and 11 other women also made accusations of alleged assaults by Cosby committed against them between 1965 and 2004. Charlotte Laws wrote a November 2014 article published by Salon accusing Cosby of assaulting a friend of hers with whom she subsequently had lost contact. The following month, in a Vanity Fair article, model Beverly Johnson alleged that she was drugged by Cosby during a 1986 audition and that she knew other women with similar accounts. Cosby's attorney said Dickinson's account differed from prior accounts she had given of the incident and released a statement that said in part, Mr. Cosby does not intend to dignify these allegations with any comment. A follow-up statement dismissed the allegations as unsubstantiated and an example of media vilification. A joint statement from Cosby and Constand, who had received a civil settlement in 2006, clarified the statement released a few days prior by stating that it did not refer to Constand's case, which was resolved years ago. In January 2015, Sindra Ladd alleged that Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her in 1969. In May of 2015, Lily Bernard claimed that Cosby sexually assaulted her in the early 1990s and that she had been interviewed by police in Atlantic City, New Jersey, regarding the allegation. Because the state of New Jersey has no statute of limitations for rape, Bernard hoped charges would be brought, but media reports noted it wasn't clear if what Bernard says happened to her happened in New Jersey. On July 27, 2015, New York Magazine's cover featured images of 35 women sitting in chairs with the last chair empty, suggesting there may be more victims who have not come forward yet. The 35 women told their stories about being assaulted by Bill Cosby and the culture that wouldn't listen. 11 other women known to New York who alleged sexual assault by Cosby declined to be photographed and interviewed for the feature. According to Vox, the stories span more than five decades and are remarkably similar, typically involving the comedian offering women a cup of coffee or some sort of alcoholic beverage, which may be spiked with drugs, and allegedly sexually assaulting the victim as she's impaired or unconscious. On September 17, 2015, A&E broadcast the documentary Cosby, The Women Speak, a program in which 13 alleged victims were interviewed. By October 24th, nearly 60 women had claimed they were sexually assaulted by Cosby, and the terms sociopath and serial rapist were used to describe him. Jewel Allison, one of Cosby's accusers, described him as a sociopath and stated, "We may be looking at America's greatest serial rapist that has ever gotten away with this for the longest amount of time. He got away with it because he was hiding behind the image of Cliff Huxtable." Cosby has been accused by 60 women of rape, drug-facilitated sexual assault, sexual battery, and other sexual misconduct. There were also two instances of alleged child sexual abuse, both involving girls 15 years of age. The earliest alleged incidents took place in the mid-1960s, with arrests scattered all the way until at least 2008. Cosby attorney Marty Singer stated, "There is virtually no standard by which the media are holding Mr. Cosby's accusers. Anyone and everyone who wants to file a suit or get on television can be guaranteed fawning coverage. The very same media have demonstrated an unconscionable disinterest and the veracity of his accuser and their motives. Cosby has maintained his innocence and repeatedly denied the allegations. In November 2014, in response to a question about the allegations, Cosby said, "I don't talk about it." Cosby has declined to discuss publicly the accusations in past interviews. However, he told Florida Today, "People shouldn't have to go through that and shouldn't answer to innuendos." In May 2015, he said, "I have been in the business 52 years and I've never seen anything like this. Reality is a situation and I can't speak." Unsealing of the Constan versus Cosby deposition. On July 8th of 2015, Constan and her attorney, Dolores Triglione, filed a motion to negate the confidentiality agreement in the 2005 case against Cosby, claiming Cosby had already engaged in total abandonment of the confidentiality portions of the agreement by way of the recent sweeping denials of all allegations against him. A judge ruled that releasing the sealed document was justified by Cosby's role as a public moralist in contrast to his possible criminal private behavior. Although some of the files from the Constan case have been unsealed, the transcript of Cosby's several depositions was not among them. Instead, the New York Times had been able to obtain the complete deposition from a court reporting service that had been hired by Constan's attorney and released a document to the general public. After it was discovered that the transcript of the deposition had been released, Cosby's lawyers filed a new motion in the case July 21st of 2015, asserting that Constan and Triglione may have orchestrated the release. In the court filing condemning the release of the deposition, Cosby's attorney stressed that none of the testimony that was actually unsealed by a judge stated that he engaged in non-consensual sex or gave anyone quaaludes without their knowledge or consent. Reading the media accounts, one would conclude that the defendant had admitted to rape, the document said. And yet the defendant admitted to nothing more than being one of the many people who introduced quaaludes into their consensual sex life in the 1970s. Cosby's lawyers further contended that a court reporting service hired by Constan had released the 2005 court transcript to the Times days earlier in a massive breach of protocol. The court reporter's code of ethics prohibits the release of testimony without all parties first being contacted. In the deposition, Cosby denied any sexual assault of any women, but admitted he had used sedatives to help gain their cooperation. He testified that he had obtained quaaludes from a gynecologist, Leroy Amar, who knew Cosby had no intention of taking the drugs himself. Cosby instead intended to give them to women he wanted to have sexual relations with and admitted he had given the drug to at least one woman and other people. Cosby admitted knowing it was illegal at the time to dispense the drug to other people. Amar would later have his medical license revoked in California and New York State. He died in 2002. On December 30th, 2015, in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, Cosby was charged with three counts of aggravated indecent assault on Constan as a result of a single incident alleged to have occurred at his home in Cheltman Township on an unspecified date between mid-January and mid-February 2004. According to the very detailed arrest warrant filed on December 15, 2015, these were the first criminal charges as a result of sexual assault allegations that have been made by women against Cosby. Cosby was arraigned that afternoon without entering a plea. His bail was set at $1 million. Cosby surrendered his passport, posted bond, and was escorted to the Cheltman Township Police Station to be booked, fingerprinted, and photographed for a mugshot. The charges are based on Constan's statement to police of unwanted sexual contact, though not intercourse, in early 2004, that had been first reported to the Durham Regional Police Service near Constan's home in southern Ontario, Canada, on January 13, 2005. The report was forwarded to authorities in Pennsylvania. On February 17, 2005, the then district attorney, Bruce Castor, had released a statement that charges would not be laid at that time. Constan launched a civil lawsuit against Cosby in 2005, which was settled by the defendant in July 2006 on a confidential basis. Some of the testimony from that case was unsealed in July 2015. Based on details revealed in this testimony, along with new interviews with certain witnesses, newly elected District Attorney Kevin Steele decided to file charges on December 30, 2015. The criminal court documents allege that blue pills, said to be Benadryl by Cosby, were given to Constan, who had also been drinking wine during the January 2004 incident. Cosby's attorney issued a statement saying, "We intend to mount a vigorous defense against this unjustified charge, and we expect that Mr. Cosby will be exonerated by a court of law." Cosby's attorneys filed a motion to dismiss the sexual assault charges in January 2006, saying that Castor's office had promised in 2005 that Cosby would not be prosecuted. In testimony involving Cosby's motion to dismiss the charges, Castor defended his decision not to bring charges, citing, among other things, Constand's year-long delay in reporting the allegations, her continued contact with Cosby, and suggestions that she and her mother might have tried to extort the TV star. On February 3, 2016, Judge Stephen O'Neill ruled there was no basis to dismiss the case based on Cosby's assertions. Cosby's legal team sought an appeal before the Superior Court of Pennsylvania. On April 25, 2016, the Superior Court refused to hear Cosby's appeal from the denial of his motion to dismiss the charges, lifted a temporary stay of the pretrial hearing, and sent the case back to the original court. On April 13, 2016, Cosby filed a motion with the Superior Court to reseal the deposition from the original Constand lawsuit. His lawyers made a similar request in federal court in Massachusetts earlier, but that motion was denied by Judge David H. Hennessy, who likened these efforts to putting toothpaste back in the tube, since Cosby's testimony had already been in the news for months. At the preliminary hearing on May 24th, the judge found that there was enough evidence to proceed with the trial, despite the fact that Constand did not testify, which is allowed under Pennsylvania law. He set a pretrial hearing for September 6th. Cosby appealed this decision based upon the beliefs his legal team had the right to cross-examine the accuser. He lost this appeal on October 12th. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court announced it would review the state law in separate case, to which Cosby's lead attorney, Brian McMillange, said he would try to add Cosby's case in hopes of it having been thrown out. On September 6, 2016, Judge Stephen O'Neill set a trial date for June 6, 2017. On April 12, 2017, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court declined to hear Cosby's appeal to question the Constand case before trial. Cosby had faced a maximum of 15 to 30 years in prison if found guilty in all three counts and a fine up to $25,000. His trial started on June 5th, 2017 and ended in mistrial on June 17th. And that's where we're at thus far in the case against Bill Cosby.
Can we go back a little ways
there? Yeah.
He got Quaaludes from a gynecologist?
Sounds like it.
Like, what?
Because...
And no red flags that this guy, Bill Cosby, who's super famous, is getting Quaaludes from a gynecologist?
It was the 60s. It was the 70s. We looked the other way.
Like, I
wasn't alive.
I can't imagine that my gynecologist would even be able to prescribe Quaaludes. Like, gosh, Carol, your cervix looks like it needs Quaaludes.
That might...
How does that work?
Might raise a red flag or two today.
Are you having bad cramps, Carol? Here's some Quaaludes. I'm going to prescribe them for you.
You know what's...
Like, but no, I'm a dude. Like, what?
What's weird. What's fucked up about it is this is what we know about a star, Bill Cosby. The thing is, how much of this, you know, under-the-counter, underhanded, fucked-up shit was going on just with your average Joe? Where it's like, yeah, my buddy's a gynecologist. He can get me prescriptions for this or that. You know, just shit like that where it's like, here you go, Bill. You have fun this weekend. Say hi to the ladies. You know, shit like that. Like,
Michael Jackson had his very own doctor who gave him propofol at night.
Well, yeah.
Like, if you've had a colonoscopy or some kind of procedure like that, propofol just knocks you right out. Like, it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Nobody has their own doctor who's going to do that in your home.
Unless you're Michael Jackson or Bill Cosby.
Right? Yeah. Like, any doctor should say, no, I'm sorry, that's super fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that, Michael Jackson. But instead, you're like, I could be Michael Jackson's doctor. And I could, like, give him propofol every night and make some money.
Get this money and make a big payday? Or I could be...
I might be a gynecologist, but Bill Cosby needs Quaaludes.
I could be Bill Cosby's wife.
Right? I mean, that's just so weird. So weird to me.
What I'm surprised about... I know nothing about his wife. Other than I remember when she sat in an interview and really, you know, defended his bullshit when all this was really kind of going down. But my assumption would be that if you are aware of these sort of things, she probably could have gotten a pretty good divorce settlement there and, you know, had an NDA or something you know, as far as talking about Bill for the rest of her life, rather than, you know, being the person that has to sit there and, you know, kind of fend for him. Although in the end, did she just know eventually he's going to get caught and she's going to get everything? And that's the end of the day? Or, you know, I don't know. I'm wondering, how did she play this?
I have to wonder if part of that has to do with the era. Like, they were married probably in the early 60s.
Yeah.
Sometime in the 60s. And, you know, that's just kind of what men do. Men are men, and they have affairs, and he provides for the family.
Yeah.
You know, that divorce wasn't an option to a lot of women.
Sure.
And if he's manipulating other women the way he was, just saying, he could be manipulating her the same way. You know, he's good. A guy like that's really good at getting what they want.
Yeah.
So if you're the wife, or, you know, is he being threatened with, I'm going to take, I assume they have kids, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the kids. I'm going to take the house. You're going to have nothing. And she's like, oh, I don't even know how to type. I can't find a job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe that kind of played into it a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it. I don't know. I mean,
he's really good at manipulating women. We know that.
And if she knew nothing about it, then that, I guess more power to her.
I think she did.
Yeah.
But I think he manipulated her just like he did everyone else.
Yeah.
So she might have walked in on him and he's like, that's not what you saw. And she's like, no, you're right. You know, or maybe he threatened her, or there's a lot of,
we just don't know.
A lot of tactics.
You're right. There's a lot of things we don't know. I mean, the thing is, when you start to kind of unpeel this onion, you go, okay, this person is capable of this sort of shit. Yet I think sometimes in our mind, we still kind of operate and we think, well, then we think of Cliff Huxtable in a marriage still. And so you're not thinking that maybe he's sitting there threatening her or whatever else may be going on.
Because I can't remember his wife in the show, because she's such a good actress. And I really
Felicia Rashad.
Her. Thank you. I think she's so good. And in that role, she was a very powerful woman and a very powerful, like a great mom. Mm-hmm. And she stood up to him. So you think his wife's that person.
Yeah, you do. And then she even played his wife again in another series a couple years later that ran for many seasons. But yeah, that's immediately who you think of. You don't think of who his real wife is. You think of Felicia Rashad.
She could have been a very, you know, I think a lot of women who are married to men like that, they're used to being very dominated.
Yeah.
And they could be abused. I don't know that he hit her or anything. I don't know. But you could be abused in a number of ways. You know, and maybe, you know, he tears down her self-esteem. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of ways that you can abuse somebody.
Yeah. There are. There certainly are. So I guess, you know, I don't want to be too judgy on her. But
the man at the end, I remember she was walking with him into the courthouse and she was standing by her man.
Yeah. When she have, you know, just the idea, you know, of having sexual assault allegations against somebody from one person, but like, you got like 60 some. I mean, holy shit. I mean, at what point are you like, I suspect maybe not all these people are lying. You know, at some point you got to say that, you know, maybe one out of 60 is real. But
and it goes back, we've talked about this before, deal breakers.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to date a guy who smokes.
Yeah.
Got to have a job. Can't be sexually abusing women.
Yeah. It's just kind of one of those things. The Bill Cosby story, there is a lot more to it. And I don't know if it's gonna be a two-parter or a three-parter, but we will figure that out as we dig deeper into this one on another episode here of Dark Side of Wikipedia with Carol. It probably won't be necessarily sequentially the next episode, but it will be the next one with Carol. So probably the following week we'll get into part two of the Bill Cosby story. And it just keeps getting darker and darker. It's lovely. Then we're going to also introduce something once we wrap up this story, is called the final chapter here on the Dark Side of Wikipedia. And that's where we're going to kind of do a wrap up of the story. And it's going to be something that we're going to give supporters of the show. We're going to start a support area of the show now, where you get that extra final chapter. You're not going to miss out on the content of the show. We're just going to give you more content. If you love the discussions and what we're talking about, we're going to take it a bit deeper. My inspiration is kind of like Overtime with Bill Maher, that sort of a thing, where we're going to have an extra, 15 minutes of the discussion for final chapter members, Darksiders is what I'm calling them. So Darksiders is a new thing to the show. Darksiders are essentially what, if you listen to our other shows, we have EPPs and Gravekeepers. Darksiders is what we're going to have over here. And with that, you're going to get advanced episodes of the show, typically a couple months in advance of their release, so you can binge away on hours and hours and hours and hours of more content. You'll get the archive of the episodes commercial free. And then you'll also get those final chapter sections at the end of every story that are exclusive to our supporters. It's a $5 a month setup, just like all the other shows, and you get all the extras, and you guys are helping us to stay on the air. We've been waiting to do anything like this for a while, wanting to get the show off the ground, and I think you guys certainly have done that for us, and our listenership has definitely increased over the last many months, so this is going to be one of them long-term shows that ain't going away. And with your help, it won't anyway. So please consider becoming a Darksider. I'll give you the, you can find the link at darksideofwiki.com. And once I have the Patreon setup all set up, I'll give that URL on the air as well. But it is through Patreon to sign up and support us. You can also probably search Dark Side of Wikipedia there as well. So any other last thoughts before we wrap up this portion one of Cosby?
Oh, no, Tony, I don't have any last thoughts. No. My only last thought is, like, it just pisses me off. That's my last thought.
That's so Raven. I had to get that joke in there at some point on the episode. Yeah, I feel bad for all those folks, because they were part of such, at the time, legendary show that was held in such high regard, and their careers were all held in such high regard. And in reality, you look at those folks and it's not their fault. They weren't involved with this bullshit, but that chunk of their lives is now forever stained with the bullshit of this horrible individual. Not that a lot of them really went on to do a whole lot of other things, but you just feel bad. It's like, damn, like such a groundbreaking thing. And how this turned into that, it's just.
But Lisa Bonet went on to marry Lenny Kravitz, didn't she? I'd be so happy with that.
And her boyfriend Eldon on the show was working at a Trader Joe's.
Bless his heart.
I know. Because that was on like TMZ or something not that long ago, where it was so-and-so from Cosby Show working at Trader Joe's. And it's like, well, he's trying to make a living. The image that everyone has in the world of if you've been on TV, if you've done this or done that, if you have public, spotlight, you must be loaded. And it's like, that's usually the furthest from the truth.
What bothered me about that was that the way it was exposed, it was almost like kind of public shaming of him.
Yeah.
When all he was trying to do was make a living, what we all do every day.
Exactly.
And I don't think just because you're working at Trader Joe's means you've fallen from grace. It means that your life has changed and you're working at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. He's not sitting there, woe is
me. He's working.
He's putting food on the table.
But I think he ended up getting a couple jobs from that because of people feeling really bad for the way it went down.
Yeah, I think he did too. But that's where we'll stop the episode for today. So be sure to press subscribe wherever you listen to the program. Please consider becoming a Darksider. And we'll have more on that, of course, on the air over the coming episodes. Thank you guys for listening and keeping us on the air. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts as well. We do greatly appreciate that and all of the support here on the Dark Side of Wikipedia. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.